on time this morning, so I'm just going to take a few minutes. I just want to get something in your spirit this morning. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of Luke chapter 2, and I just want to share with you for just a few moments and encourage you. You know, through the month of December, you know, it's always tough as a pastor because every year you have to get up and preach the Christmas story and find fresh ways of preaching it and teaching it every year. And so at times it can be a little challenging. But, you know, we've been talking about a wonderful faith. And we have a wonderful faith, amen, that God has given us. And last week we talked about a faith that is courageous and we have change. And in the middle of their season of change, they were willing to allow God to change them into what He wanted them to be. And we all go through seasons. All of us are in seasons. Many of us are in different seasons in our life now. But when God takes us from one season to another season, He always wants to produce change in us. And so it's a season of change. It's courageous faith. It's courageous to be willing to say, God, I'm going to let You to work on my life and be able to, Lord, my life is Yours. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about not just a courageous faith, but a waiting faith, a looking faith. And here in the book of Luke, chapter 2, there's an interesting story. And it's the story of a man named Simeon, who was waiting to see the salvation of Israel, who was waiting to see, who believed that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. Now, it's interesting that during high holy days, Israel, Jews, on Friday afternoons during holy seasons, and when the sun would go down in the evening, there was a prayer that they would always pray. And the prayer would go something like this. It was a prayer that said, shake thyself from the dust. Rise and put on the garments of thy glory. O my people, through the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, draw nigh unto my soul and redeem me. It was a cry of the Jewish heart that God would send the Messiah, that He would send a Messiah. They still do it to this day. The tragedy of it is that John 1:11 tells us that Jesus came to His own and His own did not know Him or knew not of Him. And so it is a cry. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. As believers, the Scripture says, for as many as believe on Him, to them He gave the power to become sons of God, even those who believe on His name. Simeon was one of those men who believed on His name. We see this story. We see the story in Luke chapter 2. Simeon's name actually means that God hears. God certainly did hear his prayer of faith. He was a man that sought God. And we see him one time in Scripture. This is the only time we see him here, but he's never mentioned again other in Scripture. But he has a faith that waits. He has a faith that looks and looks toward God. And so Simeon, when he sees the Messiah, the Scripture says he erupts in this prayer. He erupts in this praise because he knows that his prayers have come true. The people say, I've heard, you know, there are some of us who may say, well, I've never heard God speak, or I've never seen a miracle, or I've never seen the power of God really, other than the fact that I've gotten saved and He's changed me. And many times we say, well, I've not seen this happen, or I've not seen angels, or I've not seen this, or I've not seen that. Simeon didn't either. Matter of fact, Simeon, all he did was hold a baby. And he knew this was the Son of God. He did not hear Jesus, ever hear Him speak. He never heard Him speak or say a word. He never heard Him teach or preach or deliver a sermon. He never saw Jesus do any miracles. And he never did see Jesus speak to anyone. He did not see Him speak to Nicodemus or the woman at the well. He never heard His voice. He never seen Him do a miracle like the healing of blind Bartimaeus or the 10 lepers or the healing of Peter's mother. But Simeon knew that he was a man after God. And so Simeon had been in the temple a long time, and he had waited. But all of this to say is that you don't need everything to be played out in order for you to see God. All he did was hold this child, and he had the revelation that this was the Son of God. This was the Son of God. Never saw a miracle that Jesus did, but he knew this was the Son of God. Never heard him preach a sermon, but he knew this was the Son of God. Matter of fact, it's interesting, the man who laid at the gate beautiful in the book of Acts, the Bible said the man laid there for 38 years. Matter of fact, Simeon, who worked in the temple, would come up every day and probably walk by that man who begged at the gate beautiful. Knowing that years later Jesus would come by, or John and them would come by, and that man would be healed at the gate beautiful. So Simeon was someone who sought after God. He didn't know his disciples, but all he did was hold a baby. He never had a star appear to him that Jesus had arrived. He never had angels speak to him. He never had the angel Gabriel tell him that he arrived. He didn't have a dream like Joseph. All he did was hold a baby. And it just shows us that all these things are not always needed to put our faith in Christ. We just need to trust God and believe in God and trust that He is the Christ. That's what makes our faith such a wonderful faith. It's what makes our faith such a wonderful faith. And Simeon had what was called a waiting faith or a looking faith. You say, well, what is a waiting faith? A waiting faith, a looking faith, is a faith that is distributed out of our devotion to God. Being devoted to the things of God. If you'll look in the book of Luke chapter 2 and beginning in verse 25. I want you to see a couple of things this morning. The Bible says in verse 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I would imagine that Simeon was known. You go into some towns or you go into businesses or organizations and you mention someone's name, there's always someone who is known. Someone who has a reputation or is known or was known. I mean, there's always somebody in the town that everybody knows. Simeon was kind of like that man. He had been there, around there, a long time. He was a man that was known. And I want us to see a couple of things. First of all, what did they know about Simeon? What did they know about this man that had a looking faith and a waiting faith? The Bible tells us that he was a man that was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Well, the Bible tells us that this man was a just man. In other words, he was a righteous man. He lived by the Word of God. He lived by the precepts of God. He lived with integrity. There was honesty. He kept his word. There was a righteousness about him. He kept order of the Word of God. It means that he was a righteous man, a just man. The word devout there, which is interesting, says that he wasn't just a righteous man, but he was a devout man. That is an interesting word in translated into Greek because it means this. It means to receive or to take hold of. In other words, it means to take hold of God, to grab hold of something, to receive something, to grab hold of God. He wasn't just a man who was righteous, but he was a man that took a hold of the things of God. He was a man that took a hold of that which was in front of him. That was God. It was a sign of his devotion to God. Because he was devoted to God, he took a hold of the Word of God. He took a hold of the commandments of God. He took a hold of the promises of God. He wasn't just a righteous man in word, but he was a righteous man indeed. How many know it's one thing to say that we are righteous in one way, but how many know that righteousness is never proved until it's lived out? He was a man who took hold. He grabbed hold of. He was devout. That means he grabbed, he took on, he received. He had righteousness and character, but he was devoted in his walk. Righteousness speaks of your character. Devotion speaks of your walk. And we all have to have not only righteousness in our character, but there is a life to be lived out as a believer. You're just not to be someone who sits on the pew and believes that God saves and changes, but there is a responsibility to live in for God that you walk out what you believe. and that you live out what you believe. He was a man that was righteous and devout. What are you known for? He's a man that was known for his devotion and a man that was known for his righteousness. I guess it's a great question to be asked this morning. What are we known for? What are you known for at work and in the circles of friends of where you live? What are you known for? What is your reputation? Do you have a reputation of righteousness? And can people say that not only are you righteous, but you are devoted to the things of God? Not only just say that you love God, but you're devoted to the things of God. It's a great question to ask this Christmas season, because Simeon is a man who not only was a righteous man, known as a righteous man, but he lived out what he preached. He lived out what he spoke. He believed it and dived into it and walked in it. Second of all, what did God know about him? We see what men knew about him, but second of all, what did God know about him? The Bible says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The word waiting there actually can be interchanged. Some translations say looking. He was looking for the consolation of Israel. You say, well, what does that word mean? What does it mean to be looking for the consolation of Israel? It's an interesting word. It really means, it's the Greek word paraclete. It means, it's the word that is translated throughout the New Testament many times. It means he was looking for the one who would come alongside of Israel. He was looking for the one who would come alongside and be with. It's really used to describe the Holy Spirit in the New Testament as one who comes alongside us as we walk out our faith. What was he looking for? He was looking for the one. He was looking for the consolation, the one who would come alongside and touch his nation, who would come alongside in a time of stress and hurt and a time when you're walking through difficulty. Who comes alongside you when you're walking through trials? Who comes alongside you when there's stress in your life or discouragement in your life? Do you allow the Holy Spirit? Do you allow Christ to come alongside you and walk beside you? Are you always looking for the one who is the comforter that would come and walk aside and come aside and be by you? Now, it's interesting. I read this week an interesting thing. He's looking for the Messiah. He is waiting and looking. Now, here's what I read about Simeon this week. Josephus and tradition says that he was close to 113 years old. I mean, you know, that's pretty old, 113. You're doing pretty good. You make it 113. But they believe that Simeon was 113 years old. You got to looking at this and you begin to think that Simeon being 113 years old means that he was born somewhere around 100 BC, 100 years before Christ. What was going on in his world 100 years before Christ? Well, 100 years before Christ, there was a man named Julius Caesar who lived at that time and who was born around the same time. Matter of fact, when Simeon was 50 years old, Julius Caesar had begun to conquer the world, and he started with the Goths, and he began to move west, and he began to take Britain, and he began to take his Roman legions and move west and move in to Rome. He became to the point to where he took over Rome, and it no longer was a kingdom. Now it became an empire, and he became a dictator. And this was the world in which Simeon had lived. He had lived through the time when Julius Caesar had come to the throne, had taken Rome, and became a dictator. Now, it's interesting that there in Jerusalem at that time, there were two brothers that rose up. One was named Arius, and the other one was named Hyrcanus. They were two brothers who wanted to rule Israel, so they both got armies together. And a civil war broke out in Israel at this time. There was bloodshed. There was death. Both of them wanted to accede to the throne. Matter of fact, years later, there was a Roman general that came to the power, and his name was Pompey the Great, and he overtook Syria. So these two brothers left Israel, went to Syria, and went before Pompey the Great and said, "Would you make me king over Israel?" And Pompey the Great said, "I'm not going to make any of you king over Israel." And they invited him down and said, "If you'll come and take over Jerusalem and Israel, I'll work for you. I'll serve you. And both of those brothers made that offer. Well, the brothers went back to Jerusalem, and Arius, he had gone and he had taken his army and he had surrounded the temple and he had surrounded the Temple Mount and he was fortifying himself. Well, Pompey the Great said, hey, since they're inviting me down, listen, the Roman army was kind of like the mafia. You invite them in, they're going to stay. They're not going anywhere. And so Pompey the Great came down and he overtook Jerusalem. He slaughtered all of the Jews. Matter of fact, he went in and destroyed the temple and he walked into the Holy of Holies and he desecrated the whole temple. He walked in and he stood in the midst. Tradition says that he stood in the midst of the temple. And this is what Pompey the Great said. He said, there's no God here. There's no God that lives here. And he shook his head and he took Arius. And he took Arius and put him in prison. And from that point on, Rome began to rule Israel from that point. This is what Simeon would have seen. This is the life he would have seen. This is what he would have been involved in. This is what he would have seen. He would have seen this death, this war, this slaughter, this terrorism, this bloodshed, this chaos, this confusion. But in the midst of that, he was a righteous man, he was a devout man, and he continued to seek God. Why? Because the promise to him was that he would see the deliverer that would come to Israel. All these years he had to sit through all of this chaos. All of these things that were going on. Listen, how many know there are things in our lives that will begin to try to rock our faith? There will be times and seasons in your life that there will be many seasons you'll walk through and the enemy will try to rock your faith. Get you to believe that the promises that God has given you are not true. If the enemy can get you to doubt God's promises, then he can get you in a place to where you won't believe. But listen, this is exactly what Simeon said. I will refuse not to believe that the promise that God gave me, I will see. I will keep looking. I will keep looking. You know, this Christmas season, we have to believe the things that God has promised us. We have to keep looking that God will touch our children. We have to keep looking that God will bring revival back to our nation. We have to keep looking that God again will raise up righteous leaders. We have to keep looking and believe that God will raise up a generation that will take this nation back. In the midst of chaos, regardless of who is in the White House or who's on the throne or what king is where, if we continue to believe that God's still God, we can be like Simeon and say, I'm looking for the day. I'm looking for the day when God moves again in this nation. It is a waiting faith. What are you waiting on this morning? What do you believe in God for this morning? What are you looking for? What has God spoke to you that you have held on to? That you have grabbed? Listen, he was a devoted man and it says he was devoted. He received. He held on to. What are you holding on to this morning? I'm telling you what I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to the Word of God. It is my life. It's everything. Listen, this is the security of my life. It is the promise that we have that no matter how bad things get, there is a God who comes alongside us as a paraclete looking for someone who will walk beside us through difficult times. This was a man of faith. Listen, he saw more. Listen, he saw more than what most generations could ever see. Could you imagine being someone who worked in the temple, who was a priest like he was, and all of a sudden a foreign someone like Caesar walk in and desolate the house of God and say, I thought you said there was a God here. There is no God here. But you know what? That's what most people do in this generation when they come to our churches. Just like it. Just as Pompey the Great walked into the temple looking for a God. There are people who will walk into this fellowship and they hear you say there's a God. They hear you say that God is alive. But when they come in, is there a God for them to see? Or do they walk out and say, I thought you said there was a God here. How many would like to be the place and have the faith that Simeon had? And say, God, I'm holding on to you. And that when I come to worship, That when people walk into this building, they'll know that there's a presence that here. There's a God that resides here. There's a God that's worshipped here. That when we sing because we believe. We don't sing because we have to. We pray for the sick not because we just want to do it. We do it because we believe there's a God that can meet the needs of people that are hurting. We don't just preach just to lose my voice and sweat like a pig up here every Sunday. But we believe that this thing is alive. It is living. The Scripture said this thing is not dead, but it's alive. It has the ability to transform our lives if we just put our trust in it and believe it. Simeon was a man that lived through praying for a Savior, praying for the Messiah to show up. Year after year, waiting for God to move, for God to answer his prayer. The word waiting, looking, is an interesting word in the Greek. It means prostiakom. It means to bring before, to pull to. Now look what it said. Looking. It said looking for the consolation of Israel. Looking for. It means to bring before. The word actually means to bring face to face. What was Simeon doing? He'd get in that temple every day and he'd look face to face to God. He would bring God's promises to him and he would look face to face, looking. He would look before. He would hold on to it. He would believe it. It means to pull to you. That's how he prayed. A faith that waits on God is a faith that is a devotion. I love it when people walk in faith. One of the great stories and great preachers I ever heard was a guy by the name of George Mueller. George Mueller was a man of faith that loved children. He helped 600,000 orphans in his time. He fed them and clothed them. He educated 120,000 orphans and gave them an education. He was traveling across from Great Britain to Quebec or to Canada on a ship. And while he was traveling, they had to outside the coast of Newfoundland. They had to anchor down there because of the great fog that came upon the ship as they were sailing. George Mueller went to the captain and said, "Why aren't we moving?" He said, "There's a great fog here." He said, "We can't go through the fog. We have no idea what's ahead." George Mueller said, "Well, let's go down to the map room and let's go down and let's pray that God will lift the fog." He said, "I can't leave the bridge." He said, "Come on, let's go pray. I believe God will lift the fog if we go pray." So he took the captain down. They went down into the navigation room. And they got down on one knee and George Mueller put his hand on the shoulder and he prayed a simple prayer. He just said, "God, lift this fog in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden, the captain there in a moment of silence and awkwardness thought he needed to pray too. So he started to pray and George Mueller said, "No, you don't need to pray. First of all, you don't even believe what you're praying, so we don't want you to pray. Second of all, when I prayed, it was already done." Whoo! What kind of faith? That's some faith. It said they left the navigation room, they got to the top, and there was nothing but sun. Listen, God's looking for some people that are willing to hold on to the things of God, that are willing to pray until God moves. Wait till God brings His best for your life. George Mueller was a man of God, and God wants us to be men and women of God also. And as he began to pray, and as we pray, second of all, I want us to see that a waiting faith speaks of expectation. But it never diminished. Listen, he prayed for years, but it never diminished his expectation for God. If Simeon was 100-something years old, and he had prayed all those years to see the salvation of Israel, how many know that after you pray 50 years for something and it doesn't come to pass, how many know that could get a little bit discouraging? How many think, maybe you need to stop praying for that? Or maybe you need to change the way you pray. See, we live in a generation that's got to have everything right now. You all know what I'm saying? I mean, we don't like the waiting lines. How many have been shopping and you get in a waiting line? Yeah. You know, if you order it from Amazon, it's got to be here tomorrow. Or you're on the phone. Right? We are people that do not like to wait. We are people that want things instantaneously, or we get mad. Or we throw a fit or temper tantrum. That's none of y'all. I mean, I know it's... I'm talking about them other folks out there that do stuff like that. But the truth is, we are very impatient people. But God teaches us something through waiting. He teaches us something through looking. He teaches us something through the time period when expectation is there. He's teaching us how to trust God. When things may not come your way immediately, it doesn't mean that you need to give up on God. It means your expectation needs to get higher and trust Him even greater. To continue to believe and expect God to do something. He waited on God. Why did he wait on God? Because when you wait on God by faith, when God comes through, God gives you His best. If you don't wait on God, you end up settling for less. When you wait on God, you get His best. But when you settle for less, you receive less. Now here's interesting about Simeon. The promise to Simeon was that he would see the salvation of Israel. Israel's mind, their salvation, was in their priesthood. Simeon not only dedicated Jesus, but Simeon also dedicated the high priest Caiaphas. He could have taken Caiaphas and said that he is in the line of high priests. One day this child is going to be a high priest. I have seen the salvation of Israel in the high priest Caiaphas. He could have settled for that. He could have settled for John the Baptist. He could have settled for members of the Sanhedrin and said, I've seen, I've dedicated, I've seen the salvation of the Lord because it's in those religious leaders. But no, he said, I'm not going to settle for imitations. I'm going to wait on the real thing. And many times God will take you through a season where you need to wait on God, where you need to wait on the real thing. And the Bible says in the next three verses, in 25, 26, and 27, the Holy Spirit began to move, and the Holy Spirit prompted him and moved him to go to the temple. God said, go to the temple, and he immediately did it. The interesting thing is when God tells us to do something, if God would say, go to the temple, some of us say, well, what time am I supposed to be there? What am I supposed to wear, God? Who's going to be there? Why am I going? Some of your prayers don't get answered because you're asking too many questions. And you just need to step out and do what God says do and walk by faith and finish out what you've been praying. Who's going to be speaking? Is that preacher speaking? He's a little long-winded. Mary and Joseph brought him and put him in his arms. And the Bible says that when they put him in his arms, it says he blessed God. Now, Adam, would you come? He said he blessed God. That's an interesting word. It's the same word that's used over later in the chapter when it talks about when Zechariah, who was John the Baptist's father, was mute, and when he held John the Baptist, his tongue was loosed. It means one's tongue to be loosed. It means one tongue to be given in praise. Matter of fact, it's almost where it was uncontrollable. When Simeon got a hold of Jesus in his arms, what he began to do is that worship began to come out of him, and he began to praise God. He knew this was the Son of God. He knew that this is who he had been praying to see. He knew this is who he had been waiting on. You and I can't repeat that moment or even know, but what comes out of his tongue is this prayer. And there's two verses in this prayer that I want you to see as we close this morning. And it's found in verses 31 and 32. Which you have prepared before the face of all people. This is Simeon's prayer as he's holding Jesus. Verse 32, he says, a light that brings revelation to the Gentiles. Do you realize how powerful of a scripture that is? Here you have a Jew who's believing for a Jewish Messiah under a Jewish nation, a Jewish Sanhedrin, a Jewish priesthood, who begins to say, now there's salvation not only for the Jew, but there's a salvation for the Gentile. My goodness. You don't even know how powerful. He could have gotten kicked out of the temple for that. That was almost like blasphemy. But he said that. He said, salvation to bring revelation to the Gentile and the glory of your people to Israel. Now here's what's interesting. Revelation to the Gentiles and glory to the people of Israel. Glory is revealed to the Gentiles. The glory of Israel is reflected off of them. See, the difference is the Gentile gets the revelation of His glory. The Jew reflects His glory. They are already God's. They already belong to God. But when they embraced Him, they were a reflection of His glory. Now this is what I want to get to. And this is what I want to finish with. This is powerful. Luke chapter 2, the beginning of the chapter, talks about there were shepherds in the field. And the Bible said there was a light of the glory of God that shone upon the shepherds as they watched over their flock in the night. Isn't that amazing? How do you watch sheep in the night? It's a picture of man walking around in the night, not being able to see, walking in the dark. And the glory of God shone. It wasn't a sunlight. It wasn't a spotlight. It wasn't a light from a cell phone. It wasn't a light from cars. It was the glory of God that shone on those shepherds. Now here's what's interesting. It says it was the glory of God. Did you know the glory of God had not been seen in 600 years? The Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 10 and chapter 11. It said God became so fed up with the children of Israel that the glory parted from the temple. The Bible said the glory lifted up, went out to the threshold of the temple. It sat there at the temple. It left the temple and it went out over the Mountain of Olives and it went down into the valley of the Kindred Valley and it was never seen again. Malachi talked about it. He talked about honoring God, honoring the glory of God, and that the glory of God had departed. That's why when Pompey the Great walked into the temple and he walked into the Holy of Holies, he didn't see God. Why? Because God's glory was not there. But all of a sudden, 600 years later, in the valley, in the Kindred Valley, where the glory of God was last seen, 600 years later, it now shows up again. And where did it show up? Did it show up at the palace of Herod? Did it show up at Caiaphas' house or in the temple? Did it show up at the king's tables or priest's table? Did it show up at Pompey the Great's house? At Herod's, Caesar's? No. Where did it show up? It showed up over the lowest class of society, who were shepherds. Shepherds was the lowest class of all society. Matter of fact, they were what was called unredeemable. Shepherds could not be redeemed. They were deemed, doomed to hell. They were considered immoral, unclean. Kind of like those that are in India, when they call them, what they call them, the Dayams, who come out, they call them the untouchables. They were untouchables. Who did the glory of God appear to? He didn't appear to kings. He appeared to the untouchables in life. When God revealed Himself, He didn't come to the Most High of High. He revealed Himself to those who were deemed unclean. Aren't you glad that when the Son of God came to your life, He reached down to the untouchable part of your life and revealed Himself to you through salvation. Aren't you glad that the glory of God shined on your life and shined in your life and gave light to you who at one time was seen unredeemable and announced the birth of Jesus? And here, as Simeon held Jesus in his arm, while Simeon was holding Jesus, God was holding Simeon. Stand with me this morning. Simeon saw his promise came. He had a waiting faith. He had a waiting faith. People who can't wait are people who always settle for less. I could go a lot of places. That's why when you date somebody, you better make sure they're the right one. I wouldn't just settle for anybody. I'd settle for who God has for me. Huh? I wouldn't just move in with any Joe Schmo. Why? Because you're settling much less than what God has for your life. I want God's best. I want to be like, I want a waiting faith. I want a waiting faith. I don't want a faith that just settles. Listen, I just don't want to settle for a few songs on Sunday morning and a little sermonette and pat you on the head and put a bow in your hair and pat you on the back and say, good luck, come back now. I want to be a part of a move of God where people are hungry for the things of God, who are willing to wait for God to move. No, no, God, it's not enough. Why? Why is that important? Because there's children around here like Noah who's going to need, when he grows up, he's going to need a radical faith to deal with the culture that he's growing up in. And he needs to know there are people that pray, people that live righteous, people that are not ashamed of it, people who are living out so that when he grows up, he'll know that God's hand was on those that came before him, and if they can do it, he can do it. That's what's building the bridge to the next generation. Some of you, like Simeon, you need an answer. You're just saying, God, I'm waiting on you. Would you just lift your hands this morning where you are? The lifting of the hands is a sign of surrender, but it's also a sign of waiting. It's a sign of waiting. And many of you are waiting for God's best. Many of you are waiting for God to answer a prayer. Many of you are waiting for God to show Himself strong. And you can't just settle for something that's less than God's best for your life this morning. You want God's best. But like Simeon, you're going to walk in righteousness and you're going to live out. You're going to be devoted. You're going to come face to face with God. You're going to grab on to the Word. You're going to grab on to His promises this morning. As a signification of the lifting of our hands, we're saying, God, we're waiting on you. We're waiting on you, God. We're waiting on you, Lord, to move and to work. It's a waiting faith. Some of you have great promises that are spoken over your life. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop waiting. Don't stop waiting. Continue to believe for God. When Jesus came into the temple that day, Simeon, who had walked through 100 years of life hanging on to a small promise, could you imagine the joy that erupted in his heart when he held the very Son of God? I want to pray this prayer over you this morning before we leave. Father, I thank you for your direction in our life. Maybe there's somebody here that has never trusted Christ. And like Simeon, they've never seen a miracle. They've never seen the power of God move. They've never seen you heal the blind. They've never heard you preach a sermon. They've never All they know is that you're on a postcard as a child in a manger. That's the extent of what they know. They don't know Scripture. They don't know John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that who would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But like Simeon, he didn't need a miracle. He needed an encounter. And if you're here this morning and you need an encounter with God, He'll meet you right where you are. And I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and wash me in the blood. I believe You are the Son of God. And I believe You came to die. You came to this world to free me of my sin. So Lord, I confess my sin and I trust in You. Now I ask You, wash me clean and give me new life. For Lord, Your word says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Old things pass away and all things become new. God, give me a faith that is courageous, and give me a faith that is waiting. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen, amen, amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering? Hallelujah. Come on, give him a great big clap offering this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. As we dismiss this morning, if you need prayer, we'll be up here if you want prayer this morning. If not, it was so good to see you this morning. Didn't we have a great time? Didn't you love those children? Wasn't that wonderful? And what a great day for Noah and his family. Would you love on them today? Let them know how much you appreciate them today. And God is good. Thursday night, we got a supper together after service, a time together. And then next week is our Christmas service and dinner. So we invite you to come. And let's leave in just a quick prayer. Father, thank You for Your love. Bless Your people as we leave today. We leave today rejoicing, knowing that You are a God who is still on the throne. Protect Your people. And Lord, we thank You for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.